I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. Imagine being in a voting booth this November. You're about to cast your vote for president, so what's going through your mind? Whose tax returns did I have full access to? Which candidate released information about his offshore accounts? This may or may not influence how you vote, but erring on the side of transparency is probably a wise thing for any political leader to do. Joining me to talk about full disclosure and how this is playing out on the campaign trail is Pam Wilmut. She's the executive director of Common Cause Massachusetts, the Bay State affiliate of the Good Government Lobbying Group. And on the line from Washington, D.C. is Andy Kroll, reporter for Mother Jones. He's been doing a lot of reporting about this. His latest article is Six Things Mitt Romney is Hiding. Thank you both for joining us. Pam, I'd like to start with you and just let's set the table about what transparency is all about and why it's important. I mean, it seems to have become the word of the day almost in recent weeks, but I think when we peel it back, a lot of people don't really know what it means.
It merely means openness, a window into what a candidate or government is doing. We primarily work on the government level and, in fact, do not endorse candidates or work even in a wink, wink, nudge, nudge way to endorse candidates. So I just want to put that out clearly there. But it really is the cornerstone of democracy. It's our ability to see what our government is doing and, therefore, our ability to hold them accountable. On the candidate side, it's just a way of starting to judge what a candidate will be like when they're actually governing. And I think that's, you know, an important measure because we want our officials to be as open as possible with us.
So on the candidate side, you know, there's transparency and there's transparency. What is the stuff that we as voters should know? And what is it that maybe falls in the category kind of curious about, but really is not about informing us, as you say, about how the candidate may govern?
Well, I think their record when they're in office is critical. What did they do? What did they release? How did they respond to records requests? What were their policies? Those are very critical. People are also very often interested in tax returns and those sorts of things. Government does require financial disclosure, but it, at least Massachusetts, doesn't require the turning over tax returns. That's something that the media often wants so that they can look a little bit more in depth. The financial disclosure required is often not enough to really get a full picture. So for me, it's really important to look at the actual record of what somebody did or didn't do.
Okay. So, Andy Kroll, your latest article for Mother Jones is Six Things Mitt Romney is Hiding. And in the past few weeks, particularly, I would say like almost a month, really, President Obama has been pounding his opponent, Mitt Romney, saying, you're not transparent, you're not transparent. You've got these offshore accounts. You won't get the put your tax returns out enough anyway, so you're not transparent. And it's definitely coming across as a bad thing. But in your piece, you went beyond tax returns and offshore accounts. Those are a couple of things that you mentioned. I just wanted you to sort of address some of the other things that you point to. Emails is one thing that you raise in this article.
Well, that's right. The Romney administration, as it was wrapping up its term in office, you know, 11 of then Governor Romney's top staffers purchased the hard drives out of their computers as they were on their way essentially out the door as the administration was ending. And so in doing so, you know, removed from public access and from access for the media emails about and communications having to do with the Romney administration's actions and its policies and its deliberations. The Romney administration also saw to it that government servers for the state of Massachusetts were wiped as well. And what that, you know, the result of that is that the public and the media are left in the dark about, you know, how did Mitt Romney approach, say, passing health care reform in Massachusetts? You know, did he ever discuss, you know, his 2008 presidential bid, you know, while he was governor? You know, was he, you know, slowly laying the groundwork there? We don't know these things, and it's important to point out that buying hard drives, wiping government servers, was an unprecedented move by the Romney administration. And it really, you know, leaves the public in the dark, and it leaves us reporters guessing about, you know, the real details and the real thinking during Governor Romney's, you know, his main stint in government.
So, to be clear, it wasn't illegal. It just is unprecedented, as you said.
It was not illegal, but it was very much unprecedented, and it was something, you know, we had not seen this before, and it just leaves a big gaping black hole about what was really going on inside the Romney administration, you know, during those 4 years.
Pam, did you want to add something?
I would just add that it's not illegal because or there's some pieces of it that weren't illegal. One, Massachusetts doesn't require that the governor's office respond to public records requests. Mm-hmm. They're not officially covered in the law, or so the Supreme Court of our state has ruled. So therefore, you know, getting access to emails would have been difficult anyway. Romney did allegedly get permission to do some of this activity and turned over a batch of files to the state archives. That's a huge problem in general that we'd like to fix, and because we need to have our documents preserved electronically so they can be searched, and also address a number of deficits that our laws have here. Just to circle back, because you mentioned tax returns, the Governor Romney was the first gubernatorial candidate in modern times not to release a tax return. He went on, several other people followed his example. But that was the first time that in recent history that that request was by the press wasn't acceded to. So it wasn't
as he was governor, because he has released as presidential candidate. He's
correct.
Released some. Okay, so we have a situation where it wasn't illegal. Because it's not illegal in Massachusetts. But as Andy has said, you know, there's a lot of information there that would allow voters to determine for themselves what the process was that he undertook to come to some conclusions about his firm stances on, for example, the healthcare mandate, and there are many other policy issues that link back to what his positions may be right now on a national scale, and that's removed, but not illegal. I want to be clear about that. The thing that I don't think I ever paid attention to, but you raise in your article, Andy, is bundlers and how Mitt Romney, you say, is hiding the bundlers. I want you to explain who bundlers are, and in fact, in your piece, you make it clear that we know the Obama campaign's bundlers because they've released them. Not that I don't think they wanted to release them either, but anyway, they have. So explain to us what bundlers are and how Mitt Romney is hiding it and why it's important that we should know what's going on there.
Bundlers are the super fundraisers that make a presidential campaign in 2012 go round. Bundlers are fundraisers who, you know, there are limits on how much you as an individual can give to the political party and to the candidate themselves. But what a bundler does is a bundler gathers up a number of donations from friends, from colleagues, from their network, pools them together, and then delivers them to the campaign. And bundlers are crucial. President Obama has more than 600 bundlers. They were, you know, I want to say almost as crucial, if not as crucial, to his incredible fundraising success in 2008, and they are vital to his presidential campaign in 2012, just as they are vital to Governor Romney's. Governor Romney has refused to release a list of who his bundlers are. I mean, these are the people who provide the fuel for his presidential campaign, and unlike President Obama, Governor Romney has repeatedly refused to say who his bundlers are. This is a key piece of running a transparent presidential campaign, and we have really no idea at this point who these super fundraisers are. And it's important to know this, both because bundlers, as we saw with the Obama administration, can end up getting ambassadorships. Bundling gives you an increased chance of access to the administration, whether that's the Obama administration or a potential Romney administration. Bundlers, knowing who bundlers are can also raise problematic issues for a campaign. For instance, the Obama campaign had to return $200,000 when a sketchy bundler whose brother had had, alleged criminal, had been accused of criminal activities in the past, when that came to light because the Obama campaign named those bundlers. We don't have those names with the Romney campaign. If there's anything that that campaign is falling down on in terms of transparency, bundling is the most important thing, or it's at least in the top three.
So you have a quote from a Kathy Keeley, who's the managing editor of the Sunlight Foundation, in your piece, and they report on transparency and campaign finance issues. And here's her quote: "If someone's running for public office, the voters have an interest in knowing who's writing the big checks and how much they're writing. If nobody knows that this person or this company has written you a seven-figure check, it makes it a lot easier to do them a favor." So that is the reason to have Sunlight, as that foundation is known for, on who the folks are who are involved in giving this money. We are talking with Andy Kroll, the reporter for Mother Jones. His piece is Six Things Mitt Romney is Hiding. And with Pam Wilmot, executive director of Common Cause, which is a good government lobbying group, about transparency and about Mitt Romney and transparency, especially in this moment.
And now, I would just echo what Sunlight Foundation said. Is campaign finance is so critical, and our laws need to catch up with what actually transpires. And knowing the bundlers is critical because they are the ones that really are doing the big funding. So just echo what others have said. Absolutely critical.
All right, moving on. IRA details, you say, is on one of the six things Mitt Romney is hiding. Andy, explain.
Well, Mitt Romney's IRA is valued between about $21 million and more than $100 million. This is a big range because this is an array of investments. We know about these investments from personal financial disclosures that Romney himself has filed. They have to do with his IRA and also his wife Ann's IRA. But what doesn't add up is how Mitt Romney grew his IRA to be more than at least $20 million and as much as $100 million. Because the normal procedures from how much you can contribute to an IRA, you can't amass that much money. It's just the math does not add up. You cannot square this circle. And so, we've interviewed tax experts, we've interviewed IRA experts, folks who handle these kinds of investments, and they've suggested, certain sleights of hand, while not illegal at all, to emphasize that, but certain tax maneuvers to let Mitt Romney put financial assets into his IRA that can blow up in size over time, but that don't flag the IRS or that don't run afoul of the law. And so, again, just like the offshore accounts in which we see accounts in Bermuda, for instance, which is a tax haven, the IRA experts say appears to have used, Romney's IRA appears to have used some sort of tax maneuvers to grow to such a huge amount. The normal procedures for how for your retirement fund and how that's funded, it just doesn't add up without some clever tax tricks to get there.
Well, again, Andy, there could be clever tricks to do that, but he's a rich guy. I think everybody knows that, and that's what rich people do, is they usually try to maximize their investments as they are. So, so we're left as voters to try to figure out, is this sinister behavior or should we view it as, it's would be good to know, but maybe we don't have to know, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The bundling situation seems to me to be clearly in the purview of, what voters need to know. I mean, there's no question about that. The taxes situation seems to know, the email situation. You start getting down to IRA details and there could be something else. I'm just pushing back as somebody might say, hey, you're beating up on Mitt Romney, and he's a rich guy, and he can use whatever he has at his disposal to protect his investment. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, the key is that we just don't know how the IRA has gotten this big, whether it was perfectly normal investments and strategies to grow an IRA to at least $20 million. You know, Mitt Romney has been asked about it. His campaign has been asked about it. His financial records have been parsed. The thing is, we don't know how it got there. And this is where transparency comes in again. We want to know how. Mm-hmm. And it's not to criticize or to say that what he's done is illegal, but it's just transparency about how this man who wants to be the president of the United States accumulated the wealth that he has. I mean, he has been open about and has lauded his business record and his business acumen as an asset, as something that would serve this country well, as something that would grow jobs and grow the economy. But when it comes to his own success, his own wealth, he just doesn't answer questions that would put these doubts to rest, that would shine some light and give some explanation to these looming questions. I mean, the point of the story was to raise the questions and raise the issues and ask, why can't we have these questions answered? Why can't Governor Romney just come forward and explain, how did it work with your IRA? Why do these offshore accounts exist? Simple financial questions like that.
And Pam, how should voters interpret, this information? They've got six things here that Andy has laid out that Mitt Romney is hiding, and he makes a strong case for each of these about why voters should know. How should we regard this as we start to think carefully about the election?
Well, I think what Andy was trying to establish is a pattern, but voters need to really look at everything from the candidates and from the media with a critical eye to really see what matters to them and what would they like to know, and is this something that they think is private or not private. As you mentioned, I think there are some things on the list that clearly I would want to know. And look and see how that compares across the board. I also think it's important for folks not to get too cynical about it all, because there are real differences, whether we're talking about in this campaign or other campaigns, but all elected officials are not the same. They do have different positions vis-a-vis what government should do and how transparent it should be. And then, I'm always urging people to get more involved rather than to tune out, because that's the way we're going to change this.
Well, let's expand that a little bit, because I was wondering if people would become cynical at this point and just say, a pox on everybody's house. Everybody's hiding stuff of some sort or another. So, I just have to assume that that's what's happening and try to figure out without knowing what I'm going to do. Are we dangerously on the path as voters to accepting lack of transparency as the norm?
Absolutely. I think the worst culprit in that area is cynicism, because so many voters out there really do think that everybody's exactly the same. They're all liars, hiding things, et cetera, et cetera. And, I can't say that I've had a lot of interaction with presidential candidates, but at the local level, I'm always encouraged by the kind of folks that I interact with on a regular basis, who have great moral compasses, who would really like to change things, to open up the system. And they need the public to be involved, to demand it, to get engaged, and to help them out in that quest.
I need for both of you to respond to some most recent news about Mitt Romney and transparency in the same sentence. And that goes back to his time as CEO of the Olympics in Salt Lake City. He, at that time, pledged himself he was coming in after there was much scandal that had gone in, and he was the cleanup guy, very straight-shooting cleanup guy, as he was presented and as he himself said that's what he would that's how he would lead after the scandal. Here is his quote at the time: "Anytime there's been a breach of trust by people at the top, that organization is going to be placed under a microscope, and that is appropriate. We will be viewed much more carefully than any other organizing committee, perhaps in the history of the Olympics, and we deserve to be so viewed. I believe we'll come through with flying colors." At the time, he promised two things: the most open documents policy of any enterprise, and all of the documents inside our organization are available to the public. Turns out, not so much. He destroyed some records. We should put in context, others have destroyed records as well. And to remember that this is run by a private entity, most of the money for the Olympics, people don't seem to understand that, not public. So there are those considerations as we consider this. But again, it's the latest in kind of a narrative about his not being transparent. So, Andy, first to you, how should we place this latest piece of information in context?
It's another item to add to the list of transparency failings from Romney and the organizations and the ventures that he's been involved with. You know, the deliberation, the records of deliberations and decision-making processes for the Salt Lake Olympic Committee is just another example of this. Now, I will give credit. This is a case in which journalists reported on this. It now looks as if some of the 2002 Olympic records are going to be available for the election. But again, we haven't had any access to it. We've tried. We haven't had any access to it so far. And even the records that will come out will be lacking on the same kinds of, you know, deep internal communications that we're missing from the Romney administration in Massachusetts. Again, we're losing a complete picture of how Governor Romney leads, how he does business, how he works with his staff, and that's information that is critical to voters because it tells us how he would be a president. But again, the Olympics, Massachusetts, Bain Capital, and more, we're left lacking.
Pam, you had the last word on this. Again, I want to emphasize the Olympics are privately run. They are not a public entity in this way, but he himself Mitt Romney coming in on the heels of scandal, said he was going to be as transparent as possible, and now the latest reports say he was not.
Well, again, I think the story is still unfolding. We don't know exactly what is going to be available. I do agree that it's part of an overall picture. I don't remember at the time whether he lived up to the promise. Certainly got accolades for the job that he did there. One thing I would note is that often people coming from the business sector into politics don't make the transition to transparency as well as those who have come up in the political world. In the private sector, mm-hmm. you don't have to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big culture shock. So it's not sort of unexpected that at least initially we would see some of these deficits. But I also think that it can be a personal commitment to be transparent, whether it's hard because it is difficult, whether it's going to potentially have negative consequences, which it can. We've seen that with the Obama bundlers. We've seen it in many other places. But we need transparency not because it's easy. We need it because it makes democracy work.
Okay. Well, we're going to see how this plays out as the election comes closer. We've been talking about transparency and the importance of holding our government and political leaders accountable. Thank you both so much for talking to me. I've been speaking with Pam Wilmot, Executive Director of Common Cause Massachusetts, and Andy Kroll, a reporter for Mother Jones. Kara Miller joins me in Studio 3.
Hey, Callie, the question of the day is, can you think of a product that you'd like to improve?
Yeah, I'd like somebody to come up with a heel that you can switch out when it's a high heel shoe you like and you want a low heel.
So interesting, actually. I have interviewed somebody like that. So we are actually talking today about, not about high heels, although we might mention that, but about this sort of growing grassroots movement where consumers are taking product design into their own hands.
A kind of necessity is the mother of invention scenario.
That's exactly right. I'm Kara Miller.
And I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Boston Public Radio.